Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
For any of your garage door needs, such as purchase, install, or service and repairs, Harold's Garage Doors is your one-stop shop in North Mississippi. Don't let a faulty garage door disrupt your day. Call Harold's Garage Doors today at 662-223-0748.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, here we go. Welcome in. Oh, I'm a little high. Let me quiet down a little bit. That's a little better. Welcome in, everybody. Glad to see you on this Thursday night. My name is Michael Borky. I know the NBA Finals are happening right now, if that's your thing. I will be checking out the second half for sure when we're done here. But for those of you that are here, I appreciate you being here because, you know, some people, anyway, watch the NBA Finals. We learned on the radio show today that people would rather watch paint dry than the basketball game tonight. But I'm in, and some of you are as well, so I appreciate you being here, even though that is going on right now. My name is Michael Borky. You're tuned in to Rebel Report Live on this, although hot, beautiful Thursday night. Follow me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. If you're listening to this in podcast form, don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Just search my name. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast feed. Wherever you get them, just search Rebel Report in your favorite podcast app. Subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Tonight, I want to talk about a couple of things. First, it was just something that kind of popped into my head today as we were doing the radio show. The topic that I brought up was players that are non-transfers, and you can't say quarterback for Ole Miss's case because, of course, the answer is quarterback. But the topic was players that are non-transfers, returning players, that will have the biggest impact in 2024. And a name got brought up that I don't think that we have mentioned a single time this offseason. I don't think I have heard an Ole Miss fan mention this name until we brought it up today. And yet, this player returning for Ole Miss in the defensive secondary is huge. Like a huge player for this Ole Miss defense, and nobody talks about him. We're going to change that today. I'm also going to give you one on the offensive side of the ball as well. Also, the FPI came out. FPI doesn't really like Ole Miss. A lot of that is, I think, can be directly attributed to Quinshon Judkins' absence. It's kind of a flawed formula, but that formula tells you and it confirms what we talked about last time that we were together, I believe, in that the schedule, Ole Miss's schedule, is not near as easy as people think it is. So we'll get to those two things and your comments after I tell you the podcast. And the live stream is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. You should not have to deal with injury in your life, but it does happen. And if it does happen, call DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm today. He's in Saltillo, Mississippi. He will take care of you. You're not just somebody that calls and they put you in the system and they just kind of, he turns you in and turns you out and that's all you are. It's somebody that you'll build a relationship with. That's the kind of stuff that DJ Gregory does. It's not your typical legal experience. It is it's somebody that will care about you on top of getting you your best legal advice. Personal injury, small business, and contract disputes as well. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, located again in Saltillo, Mississippi, 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. I appreciate you guys being here. Sorry about missing on Tuesday. We had a minor emergency in the house where one four-year-old learned a very hard lesson about why you don't jump off of couches. And we had to go to the emergency room. It was funny. I called my dad to kind of tell him what was up, and he laughed. He was like, you know, it was about time. This is what happens, Michael, when you have boys. And I thought that was, it was funny perspective because I was terrified in the moment. You guys would not have believed the amount of blood that came out of that little dude's head. Just, I mean, just bumped his head, you know. You, in hindsight, and it took three staples. It's only about this big, which is big, by the way. It was a big hole in his head, but the volume of blood was just shocking. But he handled it like a champ. I mean, they gave him ice cream. The Children's Hospital in Jackson, the women that worked there were just, it was very special. They did awesome, and he's feeling good, and he's all good, and just wants to bounce off the walls again. But, you know, trying to keep him low key as best I can. But anyway, he's all good. But that is why that I missed on Tuesday. I will make that episode up for you. Probably Saturday morning. I think I might wake up Saturday morning and record an extra for you. You know, got to do the minimum 3 days a week, especially since here in a couple weeks I'll be out for a week as well. So really got to get you guys as many episodes as I can. Obviously, starting July with media days, you're going to get some extras. And then when football season comes, it's going to be a lot more than just three a week. But I owe you one, so I'm going to get you one. Thank you guys for being patient, and thank you for being here after what was a far more traumatic experience for me than him, as it turns out. He's a tough little dude. But anyway, that is why I was not here on Tuesday. So let's get into it. Most underrated Ole Miss football players. I've got two, but I really want to talk about one because this name got brought up, and it, like, I even had a brain freeze kind of moment, or I guess a brain fart kind of moment, if you will. Because Richard asked, you know, did he transfer in? And I was like, no, but wait a minute, did he? Like that's how underrated and appreciated this player is, I think. Trey Washington is somebody that I don't think is getting enough love from Ole Miss fans. Understandably so. There's only so many players to go around. But for all the attention that is getting paid on, you know, either the transfers or Jackson Dart or Trey Harris, and all of those people deserve the attention that they're getting. This roster is very, very, very good. And when you have a very good roster, there's a lot of very good players on it. But Trey Washington was Ole Miss's leading tackler last season. He had 83 tackles, three interceptions, by the way, and forced a fumble. He is a really quality SEC safety. And I think that having somebody like him returning is not being talked about enough because, especially in the secondary, there's going to be there's a lot of new faces. And there's a lot of, I guess, turnover may be the right word in that. On that side of the ball, they're going to depend on multiple transfers to play defensive back for them. Again, Washington's back. You have John Saunders back as well. That's going to help. But, I mean, Key Lawrence and Banks, and there's just so much new in the defensive secondary that somebody like Trey Washington is just kind of getting overlooked in all the excitement and all the new. But a quality veteran, homegrown, he's not from Mississippi, but a program homegrown guy, a four-year veteran of Ole Miss football, being that reliable, dependable, productive safety coming back is so important, and yet we're not giving him enough love. We're not talking about him enough. And again, with the secondary being as rotating with bodies, bringing in new guys to play for this Ole Miss defense, having that veteran presence in the room, that productive veteran presence in your defensive backfield is a huge thing for this Ole Miss defense. And he's somebody that is not getting talked about enough. So I think the most underrated Ole Miss football player on this team, the most underrated player is Trey Washington. His production relative to the conversation that he gets. I mean, it's a graph that's just like this, man. Production way, way, way up here. And in the discussion and the hype is on the floor that this chair is sitting on right now. So, again, really productive. Big-time player returning for Ole Miss. Everybody's talking about Dart and Harris and Ivy and Pegues and Sontarian Perkins and all these guys returning. Do not forget to talk about Trey Washington in the defensive secondary. That is somebody that needs more love. And I know that this one is kind of a goofy selection because a lot of you guys are very familiar with, you know, him and his capability and how important he is to the offense. But I think that a fully healthy Caden Priestcorn is bigger for this offense than it's even being given credit for. 450 yards last year receiving, 30 catches, had four touchdowns, was massive in the Peach Bowl, as you guys know. I think Peach Bowl Caden Priestcorn is more of what he is as opposed to what you saw after he came back from injury. I think that it took him a while. Don't forget how much time he missed because of that injury. It wasn't just games. It was training camp as well. He missed a lot of the most important part of getting ready for the season and the beginning of the season. Once he got caught up and acclimated and his body was ready to play, you could see what he was capable of. So as an individual player, I think the end of the season, Caden Priestcorn is who he is. I don't think he just got hot or whatever, or just they had a really good game plan this one time against Penn State. I mean, you've seen over the years, you see all the time where one player has a big game and it's really just, you know, what the hell got into him that night kind of thing. I think what you saw from Priestcorn is more likely who he is on a weekly basis than earlier in the season when he was trying to come back from injury. And as you guys know, just how incredibly important tight end is for Lane Kiffin, and when they have a capable one, how dynamic the offense can be when they have a threat at tight end. And on top of Priestcorn, I mean, they've got another one as well, the incoming transfer, Daquan Wright. But a fully healthy Caden Priestcorn can do so much for this offense. And you saw it be productive a year ago, despite him not being 100%. His backup not being fully mentally locked in and then dismissed from the team. And then his backup's backup got hurt again, Hudson Wolf. And so the tight end room was left a lot to be desired. This tight end room with a fully healthy Priestcorn, an experienced Wright coming in, Wolf finally being healthy, which, you know, you kind of find yourself rooting for him. And then an incoming freshman as well. That whole position group feels much better, but a fully healthy Caden Priestcorn will make that offense be so much more versatile. And you saw it in the Peach Bowl, but I think that that's going to be more consistent this season. And he's not going to catch 450 yards worth of passes this year. I think that number is going to be higher. But just his presence on the field is going to open things up in ways that, I mean, for a couple of years, they haven't really been able to do so with Triggs' inability to stay on the field. I mean, at one point, they were playing Jonathan Mingo at tight end just because they had to. But you've seen it in the past under Kiffin, what they're able to do with Kenny Yeboah with a capable tight end. You've seen it in flashes with Priestcorn. Now that he's healthy, I think you're going to see a threat level of this offense that will be a lot more consistent than it was last year because of the presence of such an experienced and talented tight end. So the most underrated players, in my opinion, on this Ole Miss team are Trey Washington and, if you can believe it, Caden Priestcorn. So there's that. Also, we got confirmed what we already knew, what we talked about, and you guys agreed with me, but we got confirmation. I know the FPI, like I said a second ago, is a flawed metric. The College Football Power Index, as done by ESPN, is not perfect. However, Ole Miss, according to the FPI, has the number 22 ranked schedule in all of college football. Like we said, and we talked about the takes about how it's a cakewalk or whatever, there's no such thing as a top 25 schedule that is a cakewalk. It features, I mean, it's got Georgia. It features a road trip to Baton Rouge, to Williams-Brice Stadium, to the Swamp, and to Fayetteville. That is not easy. In a preseason top 15-ish Oklahoma coming to your place, nothing easy about it. I just love that we, like a day after we got done talking about that, the FPI comes out and it's, hey, Ole Miss is playing the number 22 schedule in college football. And by the way, the SEC had 15 of the top 23 schedules in college football. 15 of the top 23 schedules. So anytime you see somebody in my business scream about how the SEC, it's not fair, and they need to go to 9 conference games because it's not fair. The ACC plays 9 conference games. The easiest schedules in college football are all from the ACC and the Big 12, and there was one Big 10 schedule on there. So, yeah, here it is. It's Syracuse, Virginia Tech, Rutgers, Kansas, North Carolina, SMU, Utah, Kansas State, Texas Tech, and Pitt in that order. The easiest schedules in college football. 15 of the top 23 are from the SEC. And yet people in my business want to try to tell you that the schedules are not fair because the SEC is only playing 8 conference games, and yet that is how difficult the schedules are, and that is what you get from the other Power Four leagues. It's almost like when you think about things, you can see very clearly. Anyway, we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. That is the website if you're in the market for office technology and your business is located anywhere in Mississippi. Check them out online, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment, so you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. We've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Their online banking platform is awesome. You don't need multiple apps to manage your money. You've got local loan servicing and decision making, so you can sit down with somebody face-to-face if you want a loan or you have a loan and you need it serviced for any reason. You don't have to hop on Zoom or talk to somebody out of state because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Kobe gets us started. Your check's in the mail, my friend. Love what you do. Keep up the good work. Thank you, man. How many games does Ole Miss win? I am still hanging on to 10-2 being the record, but I would, if you made me pick 11 versus 9, I would pick 11. Listen to the podcast with you and Zach today. Really good stuff. Love the LSU rant, by the way. I don't understand it. I'll do it a little bit here, too. I'll do it a little bit here, too, because after they lost to North Carolina in baseball, you guys saw it. I saw it. Wow, what a run for this LSU team. What a run. Man, if they'd have pulled that game off, it would have been one of the greatest runs of all time. What a run? A run to what? They didn't win anything. They won nothing. They didn't win the SEC tournament, and they didn't win a regional. They ran? Where did they run? They ran like how my three-legged dog runs. She chases the other one into the backyard and then realizes, oh, I'm tired, and turns around and looks at me like, okay, can I come inside now? That was the run that LSU went on. They went on a casual walk around the block. They didn't win anything, but yet, for some reason, sports media is so obsessed with LSU that, wow, what a run. This Tiger team is so tough. Like, they won nothing. Evansville made it farther than them. But that spills over into football. You have the same media that is so sensitive. My gosh, sports media is so sensitive, and yet they want the band to play next so the student section can chant something that is so anyway, you guys know what they chant during neck. So the same media that wants to make sure that nobody says anything offensive wants the band to play neck at LSU. Anyway, it's just the, you know what? I already did that once. I don't need to do that again. But it feels like they are not a protected class. It's not like that. But, man, they get such a pass in the media, and they're like everybody's darling when they haven't earned it. Very odd. Anyway, what's up, Tim? Glad to see you. What does Ole Miss need in the portal in baseball? Everything. Pretty much. I mean, I think they need a starting pitcher. I think they need a defensive catcher. Smithwick, I think, because it seems like he's going to hit well enough, might be served to possibly switch positions. I don't know. I think that would be a good thing. They need everything. I mean, they need basically an entire outfield. I think they're good at first base. They need a lot. They need relief pitching. They need starting pitching. They need multiple position players. Maybe Luke Hill can improve, but they need better defense at shortstop or second base. They need a lot. They need a whole lot. Now, they got a lot. I mean, Fisher coming back is big for them. That helps a ton. Furness, I think they found a first baseman. Hill hit the ball much better at the end of the year, but it was very little power. But still, he did it. They need a lot. They need a lot. Here, so check that on the NBA. You forgot the final started tonight. You and a lot of people. I think that even though it's Boston and Dallas, I think that the ratings numbers are going to be not particularly good, and the league is going to continue to pretend like it's not a problem. And I guess it's not, because they're signing a brand new massive television deal, but still, it's the interest is waning, and there's ways that they could fix it, and they're choosing not to, and it's frustrating. You would consider John Saunders or Yam Banks as the most underrated. Those are good choices as well, although I haven't seen Banks in an Ole Miss uniform. Saunders is a really good choice. Him returning is also big for sure. How does Ole Miss look from my perspective? Very good. They look very good. I think that the questions that should be asked about this team going into this season have at least been addressed. Offensive line, defensive line. They're not just going into the season not having addressed those spots, right? They needed to get better on the offensive line. They were able to keep every player on it that had eligibility left and then add 4 portal players. Good ones, too, not just dudes, right? We're not talking about LSU, who just added a couple of dudes on the defensive line. They added high-quality portal offensive linemen, right? Those are huge. All four of them are huge pickups individually. So even though we should still question the offensive line going into this season because we haven't seen this collection of guys do it yet, they addressed it. Judkins leaving, that's a loss. He's a good player. But they addressed it, right, with experienced SEC or FBS backs, right, multiple of them, with also making sure that Bentley returns. They did it on the defensive line. They needed to get better on the defensive line, and look at what they added. They added Uman Mielen. They added Nolan. They added an all-conference USA player. They kept Ivy and Pegues. Also recruited well in that position. So every question that you should have about this team, they have at least addressed. They have answered. The only thing remaining is, can those units gel? Can those players be as good as they are on paper? And can Lane Kiffin handle a situation that he's never been in as a head coach before? At FAU, they didn't have national championship expectations. At USC, he was dealing with NCAA sanctions. He never had a roster that was like this one with the expectations of this one. Only coached 1 year at Tennessee. It was a transition year. 1 year in the NFL that, didn't go well. He's been in this position as an assistant, but Nick Saban was running that show, not him. This is the first time he's been in a situation like this, so we'll see how he handles it. But at least when it comes to every question that you should have, they have addressed it on paper. You don't understand the FPI metrics. Ole Miss is the 7th best team in the league on it, really high on Kansas for some reason. It weighs a lot on returning production, stuff like that. I mean, 1 year Mississippi State was ranked in the preseason top 10 because they had 2 quarterbacks with starts, and that was it. So it's a bit of a flawed metric, but Banks is the most underrated transfer, in your opinion. I like that. What transfer player will have a breakout year? If I have to pick one to have a true breakout year, it's Trey Amos. I think Trey Amos is going to have a breakout, like early round draft type season. And nationally, people know about Walter Nolan and Uman Mielen, and Nolan is possibly going to be a first round pick, but people already know that. Amos is not a guy that is known like that. But I think by the end of the season, he will be. Just got back from Normandy, and standing on the bluffs above Omaha Beach at the D-Day Cemetery, it hits different than any movie can make you feel. Oh, man, that is something that I would love to do one day. I've read a lot about it. I've seen a couple of documentaries about it, and even the movie Saving Private Ryan, which apparently people that were there said that they did as good of a job as they possibly could have depicting it. But it is still hard to fathom that they were able to get through that with what they were facing. But the level of bravery, and bravery is not even a good enough word to describe it. Courage is not a good enough word to describe it. Being packed in on one of those boats, knowing that when that door drops, I'm going to die. I mean, they knew that. They knew exactly what they were walking into. Teenagers, in some cases. Young guys, early 20s. Regular guys like us, right? When that door dropped, they knew, I'm going to die. But I would rather die right here, right now, than let the Nazis take another inch. And having that mindset, I can't wrap my mind around it. But thank God, truly, thank God for them. Because where would we be today without them in that day and that sacrifice? It's reading about it. There was one story I read earlier today where, my eyes were welling up. I was sitting in the office before the show, and my eyes were welling up reading it because just the unfathomable nightmare that was. I can't fathom. Cannot fathom. Any update on Simmons? He's throwing the football. He's throwing the football. So my son is a future member of Bill's Mafia. Oh, man. Yeah, it was a full dive, too. That just, and you know what he tried to do today? He tried to jump on, not jump off the couch this time, not dive on the couch. But he tried to jump on it today again already. So lesson learned, or so I thought. Do I think Perkins will have a good year? Oh, yeah, I do. They expect a lot from him. You met Trey Washington at a bar in Destin over spring break. Great guy and much more in check than you were. Oh, man. I'm sure he loved however you were towards him. Glad the little man is okay. Tell him he's not alone today. He got launched off a 12-foot ladder and still made it for the live show. That's dedication. How did that happen? We're in the summer, right? It's June 6th. Nothing's happening. So I can talk about stuff like this with you guys. I'm borrowing a friend's pole saw on Saturday morning. I think he's bringing it to me tomorrow so I can form a game plan. I've got so many trees that I have to trim. I've got pines and crepe myrtles. I'm talking big crepe myrtles and big pines hanging over the house. So I'm going to just hack away at those. And when I tell you the therapy that I'm going to have on Saturday morning as I'm hacking away at these trees, it's going to be something special. I really cannot begin to describe how excited I am to use a pole saw to cut some tree limbs down. It's the best. It's the best therapy in the world. It really is. How do I feel about state season? I am, as everybody should be, deeply concerned about their defense. I think personnel-wise, it is simply they don't have defense. They don't have the bodies on defense. They don't have the personnel to stop people. They have a lot of holes. They lost a lot of players from last year's defense, a lot. They replaced them with the 16th ranked recruiting class, transfer recruiting class in the SEC. They swung and missed on a lot of defensive guys that they were after. They have very little to no experience on that side of the ball. Again, they did not portal well, and they have a rookie defensive coordinator. I think that if they're going to win games, they're going to have to win games by outscoring people. I think that they're going to give up a ton of points and yards to almost everybody on that schedule. And if they are able to get to a bowl game, it's a big win for Lebby in year one, considering what he is up against with that side of the ball. I like Blake Shapen. I like what they've got at wide receiver. I like what they've got on the offensive line. I think they're pretty good in the running back room as well. Offensively, they should definitely take a step forward from last year, without a doubt. I think they're going to be much more adequate there. Jeff Lebby's proven with offense, and I think that this one will be good as well. I think they're going to get scored on by everybody, almost everybody. Simple question, what in the world was State thinking putting Ethan Groff's picture up on the big screen before a Jans press conference? My problem, quote-unquote problem with it, is I assume, I don't know this for sure, I haven't asked him, I assume that the reporter that took the picture and sent that out was asked to take it down, because I don't think he would delete that on his own. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe he did. But if you're going to be about that, if that's going to be what you do, then be about that. If you're going to troll Ole Miss baseball during a basketball press conference, then be about that. Doing that, because that of course that's intentional. Like you don't do that on accident. There were people that worked for Mississippi State that turned the lights on in that room that day. Like, that doesn't just accidentally happen. That was intentional. Somebody did that on purpose. So if that's what you're about, then be about that. But don't troll and then make people delete tweets if that's what happened. I don't know if that's what happened. I think that's what happened, but I don't know. So I'm not going to speak in from a position of absolute knowledge, because I don't have absolute knowledge here. But if you're going to do that, then do that. But don't do it and then request tweets being deleted. How was Daquan Wright rated higher than Prescorn in the returning SEC tight end rankings? Oh gosh, who did that? Who did that? Ugh. Because that's not... No. No. He can be very fine player. Like, I think will play for Ole Miss. And then when Prescorn's gone, I think he's going to have a big impact. But no. Just absolutely not. Also, Jordan Watkins is the most underrated player coming into 24. Dude is a Toyota Camry, reliable as can be. Had a great point on that podcast about the LSU game. That's a game where a championship team wins. You want to show you're for real? You're the better team. Go win the game. 100%. Is Ole Miss a championship team? Go win that game. That's what championship teams do. You have a better football team than theirs. Yes, they have the environment behind them, but your roster is better than theirs. It is. Go win. By one or by 100, go win. You like the term core four? That's not bad. That's not bad. LSU baseball failed, not to the level that Ole Miss did, but failed, absolutely. How do I think State did in baseball? They overachieved relative to preseason expectations. I'm surprised that we have yet to see a change. Maybe Chris Lemonis doesn't think it's necessary with hitting. They were quite bad at it. They were the best fielding team in the SEC, and they got much, much better on the mound, a whole lot better, really improved. But couldn't hit the ball for anything, and that was their downfall. So are you not going to make any adjustments there? We'll see. But no, they overachieved relative to expectations. They had a good year. You don't throw a parade for a year that they had, but they had a good year relative to expectations, relative to what they were last year, that kind of stuff. Again, you don't throw a parade. You don't talk about what an amazing run they had, but it was fine relative to expectations. Sports media knows LSU's defensive line is completely suspect this season, but still thinks they finish above Ole Miss. Can't stand it. Helmet bias. It's my favorite word, helmet bias. In all honesty, you'd love to have a chant like LSU does. Cody Core is the most underrated Ole Miss player in recent past. That's a good choice. Cody Core is a really good choice. Who would be another one? Sadarius Bryant. Bird Bryant was awesome. He was awesome. Undersized linebacker that was afraid of nobody and was really productive. That was a really good player. You can win a lot of games with Bird Bryant on your team. Caught part of the 540 segment, or am I backing out of the boat punishment? I am not backing out of the boat punishment. I will not be in Mississippi when that's going on. We thought that the remote was not well. I'll be with my dad, but it is, and you know this. I see my dad at best 3 times a year, and so I'm not skipping out on this to do anything involving work, you know? So we will have to make up for it. We'll have to do a special edition of the PTG sponsored boat punishment. So we'll have to do it on a different day, which honestly it's, I think it'll end up being better because it's more time to plan for me to get things ready. But no, not backing out. We will do it. It'll just have to be on a different week. Because again, I hate that my son has to learn about and be quote unquote raised in part by his namesake through FaceTime. So I'm not missing that. He'll be at 30A and I'm going to be there too. So we'll get it done though. We're doing it. You understood Neil McCready's response to the Groff picture. That's not a rivalry based image. Who knows where Groff will end up now in baseball? A lot, not all of the MSU media is just weird. I saw what he said, and you know, he's right that he's not crying because he lost to Mississippi State. That could have been Tennessee on the other side of the field. That's not why he was upset. He was upset because he's done. And, you know, maybe he gets a shot. I think he will. But a major chapter of his life that clearly, you know, he loved ended. It had nothing to do with Mississippi State at all. It had absolutely nothing to do with Mississippi State. Ethan Groff doesn't care about losing to State any more than he does losing to any team. I don't know. I know that there are some people that would come back and say, "Oh, that's not true. You're just no." I think that's true. I think he was upset because it's over, not because they lost to State. I believe I'm saying Umane Mielen correctly. I believe that I am I could be wrong, but I believe that it's Umane Mielen. I believe that's right. So many people who cover something are just super fans of that team school. They are. And you know, I think there's a place for all of it, frankly. I think that fan-based podcasts, fan-based, you know, websites and stuff. I think there's a place for that. I like, you guys know I love the Saints. I love reading like what Luke Johnson writes about the Saints. He is a reporter. He covers the Saints. I like Nick Underhill a lot. Now, it seems like Underhill's very invested in the city of New Orleans, but when he talks about the Saints, you got to listen because he analyzes objectively. I like what they do. I need what they do. But also, I like to listen to a Saints fan podcast where they're just like me and they kind of just ramble like fans. I like them both. I consume them both. I think there's a market for both of them for sure. It's the only issue is when people are so wrapped up in the fandom that they cannot possibly speak negatively about a team or a game. And I'm not saying this correctly. There are some fans that think that all media should be that super fan level of that. That, oh, you cover Ole Miss. You should look at the, you should look for the positives. I got that during baseball season. Or I got a text into the radio show about how, you know, why are you being so negative? I thought your job is to promote Ole Miss, is what the person said. It's like, no, that's not my job. My job is to tell you what I think is happening. And this was after, I forget I think it was High Point, right? When they lost to High Point, I was like, this team sucks right now. And they suck coming off of a really bad season last year. You should be deeply concerned. And the message was like, you should be promoting Ole Miss. Why aren't you looking for the positives? That's not my job. That's where the super fan media coverage can like muddy the water between that and somebody like Neil, who strives to be objective. I think there's a market for both, but it's when the people think that when, just random example, just throwing this out there. Let's say that Chase Parham on Monday after Ole Miss loses to LSU, and he were to say something like, you know, Lane Kiffin didn't coach his best game, and you have to wonder why in this big moment, this happened. Why did he do this? And a listener comes at him like, you're just being too negative. You should listen to, or this person was right because this person spun it to make them feel better. That's where it becomes a problem. I didn't explain that very well, I don't think, but oh well. Hot take, Rashad Amos is the starting running back come November. I don't hate that. You think Deion Smith for the breakout season on offense? Especially if Juice Wells is not ready week one. Is Perkins supposed to be more of a rush end or an outside linebacker? I think with all these big new defensive linemen, he'll be able to run free as an outside linebacker. I think outside linebacker, I could be wrong, probably am, usually am. I do think that outside linebacker is his more natural position as opposed to being like a true rush end. Trying to get State to 6-6, but looking at some other teams, they'll be decisively worse than a team like Florida. That roster is quite frankly a mess, but they have some pieces on offense for sure. A poorer man's 2020 Ole Miss. That offense was sneaky loaded. It was. Chris Graves, TJ Dudley, and Suntarian Perkins all have breakout years. Dudley is a really good choice, by the way. He was good in the bowl game for having not played all season long. This year's team is more talented than 14-15. I agree. Haven't heard my thoughts on the radio show, but could I share some of what I think of the playoff schedule and TNT now having some college football playoff games? So, I mean, you guys know me. I know you know me. Competing against the NFL is a fool's errand. You're going to lose. Yes, college football playoff games will still lose to regular season NFL games. It will. But at what point, because I saw some of that criticism, and usually I'm on that side. At some point, college football in the first round of the playoffs just needs to be on Saturday. What other day can you choose? They're already putting a game on Friday. You can't really start any earlier. And if you do, you're still competing with the NFL on Thursday. You sure don't want to play games on Tuesday and Wednesday. So it's what you have to do. You just have to do it. You have to bite the bullet and do it. It's best to try to avoid it as best you can. And they are in the semifinal round. It's much better. But, yeah, they're going to have to compete against the NFL. College football is a Saturday day anyway. It's unfortunate because there won't be as many people watching, but so what? You got to do it. I don't hate TNT having it either. I think that TNT does a really good job with basketball. I think that the production quality is quite good. And I know it's not going to happen, but I would love to have Barkley on college football playoff games. I really would. But I think it'll be fine. They do a really good job broadcasting sports. They really do. Did I see Perkins the other day? He looked the same size he did 6 months ago in some pictures. Not good. So I've seen pictures. I'm going to try my hardest to, you know, wait and see until the season begins before I. Anyway, we all appreciate your unbiased takes and credible opinions. Well, not everybody thinks I'm unbiased, but that's okay. No, I appreciate that. I try to be as objective as possible. Not every day is going to be good in that regard, but hope my brand and podcast continues to grow. Thanks, man. I think that this football season is going to be really, really good. For not only the team that, you know, that we're covering here on these, but I think that the growth and potential of this will be aided by that as well. I'm looking forward to it. What's my favorite sport? Golf. Golf is my favorite sport. Golf, football, basketball, hockey, baseball, to tell you the truth. Will Howard be QB2? Will he transfer? Hopefully he will stay and show out. So I assume that he will be QB2 to start the season considering Simmons' injury, but I assume that the plan for Lane Kiffin this season is to not have to choose between one of them, for Dart to play every game and start every game and split the reps in garbage time between the two of them when they're beating Furman by 100 and beating Middle Tennessee by 100 and all that. I have a feeling that that would be their perfect world situation. I have no idea what they will do if Jackson Dart were to go down for an extended period of time. They obviously don't want that, but I think that Kiffin is going to try his hardest to make sure that neither one of them transfers up until the start of next season. It's just that's how he did it with Spencer Sanders. Even though everybody knew that Jackson Dart was going to be the quarterback, he still did not want to lose Spencer Sanders. So, you know, he did the balancing act. He didn't want Luke Altmyer to transfer, so they did the balancing act. I think the same thing's going to happen this offseason into next year. You're not going to have a starter named, you're going to have split reps. They're not going to, I don't think anyway, they're not going to have any kind of indicator that one is ahead of the other until the first game of 2025. True or false, Corso should keep doing game day. I know it can be a touchy subject. I've dealt with cognitive motor function and decline in my family. I have as well. I do think that he should be able to go out on his own terms. Not many people should be able to do that. And I know it's TV, and I know people have, you know, their thoughts on it being tough to watch nowadays with him. But, you know, maybe it's just a me thing. But Lee Corso is everything good about college football. Now, he wasn't a great coach, but ever since he's been on College Game Day, he has been a staple of the sport. He was a lot more than now, but was insightful and funny and charismatic and over the top and goofy and had a big personality. And every person that has ever encountered him has felt nothing but love and grace from him. He is everything good about sports media. He is such a staple in college football. Every Saturday when you walk around a tailgate for two decades plus, who did Corso pick? Who did Corso pick? It's just such a part of the fabric of the sport that we all love so much that I don't think we should force him out until he wants to go out. I think he's earned the opportunity to be there for as long as possible, because I know that it's not the same anymore, but we will miss Lee Corso when he's not on the set of College Game Day anymore. And the show has changed. I don't like the direction that they've taken it. It feels too commercial for me, as opposed to back in the day, it was a lot more celebratory. Now it's, again, too commercial. But every college football Saturday started for me with Lee Corso. And I always had to see him no matter what I was doing. And I still to this day, you know, if we're at the park or I'm not home, I pull out my phone so I can watch Lee Corso put the headgear on. It's so ingrained in this sport that I think he should stay for as long as he wants to stay. And if he wants to hang it up, hang it up. But he's too humble for this, I think. But I think he should be given the hero's send-off his last year. I hope that he's afforded that opportunity, even though knowing what I think I know about him, he would decline it. But he needs the hero send-off. It's partially why I love college football so much. USM fans love how unbiased I am. You know, I think it was really just one guy. But how a person can take, I think that politicians should stay out of scheduling college football games as a slight against them is, it's just, it reeks of insecurity. I don't think politicians should get involved in college sports. I think that they are failures and they are corrupt and they do nothing good for us ever. And so seeing that in other states, politicians are taking it upon themselves to force college football games on us when there's more important things to do, as a general principle, I don't like that. But I guess, for some reason, because I attended Ole Miss, me not liking that is for Ole Miss reasons and not for I can't afford anything anymore. So I want politicians to fix that. But that's a slight against Southern Miss, I suppose. In the same way, every Saturday morning, first thing I did was cut on game day. I mean, it's just part of routine. Even if I'm not like sitting watching, it's always on in the background. Always on. I hate when I miss it. If politicians stayed out of Texas and A&M, they should stay out of everything college sports related. Seriously. Seriously. I can't believe that. I mean, that was kind of controversial, kind of. It seemed like most people agreed with it. Although you get the occasional, well, they're already wasting our time and money anyway, so they might as well do this too. I can't stand that. I'm extremely disappointed that people think that it's okay that they're wasting our money like that. Thought Spencer Sanders should have gone in much sooner in the Georgia game. You know, it was all for Dart's mental, but with it being his final season, we could have had a Tua-type situation this year, thinking out loud. Especially after he took that hit that he shouldn't have taken. I mean, that was just a very poor decision on his part, but it's too late to ask. Now, I would love to ask, you know, in hindsight, would you have just throwing Sanders in the game just because. But that was, and this is Jackson Dart's team. I mean, it is. And taking him out of a game is something that he's not going to let you do. You saw it in Starkville. He wasn't going to let you take him out of the game, and the team just responds so well to him in so many different ways that you just hope that he'll slide next time. You feel so bad for people that aren't into sports. I can entertain myself all day just listening to people talk about it. Me too. And you know, You know what's really stupid? I love the pain they cause. I do. I love being disappointed because for some reason it makes the wins even sweeter. I know that feels dumb, but I like everything about it. I love everything about it. If the Saints let me down, that's fine because in a day or two, I'm going to be locked in ready for the next game, and that's it. I love every emotion, the good and the bad and everything in between. I love how it brings us together for the most part. I mean, my childhood, that's what my dad and I bonded over. It was our thing, and it'll be my thing with my son. Right now it's Monster Trucks. We watch a lot of Monster Trucks. I can tell you the whole roster. My favorite is El Toro Loco, personally. But we like Zombie. Zombie. He's when we go to the store and stuff, lately we're doing zombie arms and running around and making noises like we're Monster Trucks, and everybody stares at us, but I don't care. Because it's a lot of fun. But that's what we're into right now is Monster Jam. But anyway. How about the USA cricket team? Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about cricket, but apparently that is like a Miracle on Ice level upset. And our best player is like an engineer at Oracle and plays the ukulele in his spare time. Like just an average dude that I say average. If he's high up at Oracle, he's not an average dude by any stretch, but a regular guy that also plays cricket on the side that beat a world power today. We're taking everything from them. Just wait until the World Cup in 26. That's getting ahead of myself a little bit. But anyway, I appreciate you guys. We went a little long tonight, just kind of rambling about whatever. But that's this time of year. We'll be back Sunday. And then Tuesday, we're getting the rest of the kickoff times, or the windows, but it's essentially the kickoff time. So we'll do that on Tuesday. And just keep on plugging. So I appreciate you guys being here. As always, don't forget to like the video. And I will see you on Sunday. I think I'm going to do something Saturday morning for you, though. It won't be live, but I think I will record something for you on Saturday if I've got time. So anyway, thank you, guys. I'll see you. I'll see you on the next one.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.